Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 47. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I want to bring out 2 points from these verses. As the heavenly one, such also the heavenly ones. Beloved, we are heavenly. Doesn't say we have to try to be heavenly. Of course we have to try. But we try because we are heavenly already. That's the point. The behavior is suited to the relationship. And it's the same as sons of God, as children of God. Because we belong to the family of God, we should behave in a fitting way. And we do have to bend our minds, as we've been hearing. Have your minds on things that are above. And Mr. Ernest Brown, who's already been mentioned in these meetings, he gave a wonderful address once that people talked about. And he talked about bending your mind. And you know, we hear so much about mind-bending drugs, you know, these people go on mind-benders and they bend and they get themselves into an altered state. Well, the exercise for us as believers is to get ourselves into an altered state and to even here be heavenly in character and to be conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one that is essentially brought before us in contrast to the first man. It's going back to the creation, I'm sure. The first man's out of the earth. Earthy or made of dust. And you know, it's so sad. People's thoughts all around us, they don't rise higher than the earth. They don't go beyond this present scene. Their outlook is bounded by time and sense. They don't think of their origin as created by God, creatorial power forming out of dust. All they're thinking is that they're going to go to dust. And that when they're 6 foot under, that's the end of it. What an awful awakening. What a shock. The rich man lifted up his eyes, not in torment. Did somebody say in torment? No, it says in torments. So, how we ought to thank God that our eyes have been opened. As Paul's ministry was, to turn them from darkness, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. And we've had our eyes opened to something better than dust and death. What comes into view here in this verse 47 is the second man out of heaven. And we're not suggesting for a moment that his humanity dropped down from heaven. He was of the substance of the Virgin. She conceived, and she brought forth her firstborn son. And we've had the proofs before us in our earlier meetings of the reality of the incarnation and of that body that he assumed that could be touched and handled and seen, and that even in resurrection could partake of physical food. So it was a real incarnation, Jesus Christ come in the flesh, but nevertheless, the second man is out of heaven. He brings that which is heavenly. He brings that character. He brings into this scene that which is of God. And in his person is found in expression what the blessed God ever had in view. Not the first man, but the second man. And it says, just as those made of the dust, such also those made of dust. But then it looks away from Adam's race to Christ, and it says, such as the heavenly one, such are also the heavenly ones. And you know, the subject of our studies has been the heavenly one. The one raised out of death. The one in the power of an indissoluble life. The one who, in view of Calvary, cried according to Psalm 102, take me not away in the midst of my days. Days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Can we fathom it, beloved? On to the ages of the ages, and we with him. As he said to John and Patmos, John had his compensations for the isolation in which he found himself. I am he that lives. He was the living one. How far back? The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And became dead. Death had no authority, it had no claim, it had no power over him. He entered it voluntarily and he entered it vicariously on behalf of others. Death provisionally for the believer, but death nevertheless is the natural consequence of sin. It follows. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. But that was never true of the Lord Jesus Christ. He became death. And behold, I am alive forevermore unto the ages of the ages. And here he is, beyond the consequence of sin, beyond death. Beyond Satan's power. Victorious. In the midst of his own. The heavenly one. And it says, such also are the heavenly ones. That we take character from him. Just as God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, I know we're repeating what we've had before us, so here he, the Lord Jesus, comes into the midst of his own and he says, he breathes on them, he breathes into them. They have that life in identification and in association with himself, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Receive ye Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual life. And it's a heavenly life. We're called from above. And we're heavenly men by birth who once were but the citizens of earth. So, this leads us back or leads us forward, whichever direction we go in. It leads us to what our brother Emmanuel was speaking about, that we're going to have to adapt. And we're going to have to seek to act, and it's a practical exercise, and to put into practice those things of which we've been hearing, in order that there might be a proper expression of this heavenly life of Christ. Or to be exotic, some of the brethren, Mr. Stoney, I think, said that we were to be exotics. You know, it's like if you go to the earth, the life and activities of those around us, we live in it, but we live rather differently because we're sustained by the one who is above. And if you, I haven't been in the botanical gardens in Belfast for some considerable time. You go into the greenhouse, the hothouse, and there are plants there who take their origin from somewhere else. There might even be some from Jamaica there, or the Bahamas. But they're used to a different environment. And in order to keep them growing here, the conditions have to be adapted. And that's I think what we have been speaking about somewhat in regard to eternal life. the atmosphere of heaven, the enjoyment of the Father and the Son, the prospect of living for Christ and living directly in Christ's own presence. It's good to remind ourselves that we are already heavenly ones and that we should live in a way that is appropriate. And may the Lord help us in that. But then it goes on to say in verse 40, as we have borne the image of the one made of dust, we shall bear also the image of the heavenly one. Isn't that a wonderful prospect, that we will be conformed to the image of his Son, that we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall transform our body of humiliation into conformity to his body of glory. A little while the Lord shall come, according to the working of his power, which he has, even to subdue all things unto himself. We might wonder how it's possible. It tells us. He has that power to do it, and he will do it. Just as I was leaving the house today, I received a phone call, and I hesitated a little bit because we all receive so many of these nuisance calls. But anyway, I said hello, and she said, "Oh, hello, is that Mr. Poots?" So I thought, well, she knows my name. That's her. And then she said, "I'd like to sell you a funeral plan." Well, you know, I opened my mouth, but all of a sudden it wasn't Andrew Poots speaking, it was Brian Baptiste speaking. And I said, "I'm not waiting for the undertaker, I'm waiting for the uptaker." And she said, "Oh, yes, that's very good, but..." And I said, "Well, but you know, how do you stand in relation to eternal matters?" She said, "That's not something that I wish to discuss." I said, "No," I said, "but you should think about it." But the point here is that we will be conformed to the image of God's Son, that we in a future day are going to come out in the image of the heavenly one. And we're told here in the verses that follow how quickly it will happen in verse 52, in the twinkling of an eye. Paul shows the importance of it because he says, behold, he says, I want to underline this. And then he says, I'm going to tell you something that has not previously been disclosed, but is now going to be revealed, because that's what a mystery is. It's not that the mystery in the scriptures is mysterious. It's a truth that is revealed, so to speak, for the initiated. Something that not previously known, which is now brought within the range of our apprehension. And he says, we're not all asleep. And that it's interesting also the terminology in regard to those who are believers. Death is not, it's not spoken of other than as a sleep. David, having served his generation, fell asleep. And Stephen, you know, calling on the Lord Jesus, he fell asleep. Asleep in Jesus. Blessed sleep. Not that we do not have conscious existence in the intermediate state. It would be wrong to think that. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, to depart and be with Christ, which is very much better. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. So there's conscious existence for the blessed, just as in Luke 16 there's conscious existence for those who are lost. But in regard to the physical body, it goes into the grave, it goes to dust. But listen, it says, that's not going to happen to all of us. It says, we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. And the dead indeed shall be raised incorruptible. They're not going to lose out. And we shall be changed. And that doesn't take us beyond the earth here, actually, in 1 Corinthians 15, because the victory of God, the victory over death, is seen here to be accomplished in the very place of death. But of course, we combine this scripture with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and consequent on the living being changed and the dead being raised, we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Beloved, we are heavenly. That's what the verse says. And if we are heavenly, let us seek to live as we've been exhorted in a heavenly way. But how blessed to realize also that maybe sooner than we might even contemplate, we'll be with the Lord in glory. He'll be here. He that shall come will come and not tarry. If I go away, I'll come again. He'll take us to the Father's house, to all the blessedness of being forever with the Lord. How good it is to be heavenly, and how blessed to know that we shall bear the image of the Heavenly One. May it be so.